Next on BYUSN, the Cougar football team is ranked outside the preseason top 25 by CBS Sports. The pros and cons of the climb versus the entitlement of a ranking. Chase Roberts is on the Biletnikoff Award watch list. Is he the most likely Cougar to win a national award this year?
Keanu Tanuvasa gives us an update on fall camp. How is the defensive line looking so far in the past 2 weeks? And how is he fitting in with the Cougar defense? And safety Tanner Wall tells us how the secondary is shaping up in camp so far. Can they replicate last year's 22 interceptions?
Ooh, that'd be nice. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Sports Nation on Twitter and BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, August 7th. Great to have you with us. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is football team barber Brian Logan.
I am. That's one of my skill sets. I tried to actually go to school for that, but they didn't offer it here.
You could have gone to Dallas Roberts down the road, man.
Yeah, I didn't know that was an option, you know, back then. You got to remember how old I am, you know what I'm saying?
I was in school for 1 year at the same time as you.
Really?
Fun fact, yeah.
I thought you were like...
I graduated in 09. You were here in 09.
Yeah, I thought you were...
I finished in April, and you technically started.
That makes sense. I thought you were a super senior.
Well, yeah, with the mission, yeah, exactly.
But look, so I had the pleasure of being, you know, having my barber... skills to cut freshman quarterback Bear Bachmeyer.
Got a haircut?
Cut his hair. It was by me, yours truly. So
now you wish that was true, but yeah. Elder Bachmeyer looks good.
Yeah. He came in. He said, look, man, I don't want nothing like too fancy. Just get a nice little trim and whatnot. And yeah. I was like, yeah, well, let's fade you up. Give you a nice little line. You know,
he
a little,
said no. Nah, let's keep it.
Yeah. He said he was, I don't really want to stand out that much.
Yeah.
He said.
I kind of miss the hair. I like the hair.
Yeah.
You know, there's standards, honor code, whatnot, and he chose to go very short.
This is so the thing, man.
I do miss that hair, though. I like that.
This is the thing. When you start becoming...
Tiger's got the no fajita going on, which looks great.
When you start becoming popular in the media's eyes,
yeah.
And you have long hair, if you have earrings, you get a call.
You speak from experience.
You get a call, yeah.
Riley Nelson had to cut his hair famously in 2010.
That's what I'm saying. And when did that happen?
After he made a game-winning play.
Exactly, my boy.
Does the haircut mean Bears making plays in practice? Is that what that means?
Ooh.
Is that what you're telling us?
I think so.
Because he got that haircut. Hopefully it's reverse Samson. Like, he makes more plays now that he's got the haircut.
Yeah, is he have a girlfriend?
I don't know.
I hope her name's not Delilah.
What if it was? That'd be something.
That would be something.
Rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
The goal is we want to be ready by the end of August.
Make sure everyone's doing their part.
The chemistry of the team coming together.
I think they're going to have a great year.
The BYU defense is going to be very good again. I believe in the O-line and the run game and the receivers.
We're just going to roll from here.
Optimus Prime, let's roll. What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Lots of preseason prognostications. CBS Sports with the latest. They rank BYU outside the top 25, Brian, number 36. Adding to the list, Coach's Poll was one of the big highlights talked about earlier this week, number 23 in that, which is actually the Sports Information Director's Poll, because yep. I don't believe the coaches actually pay attention that much.
No.
So, some have BYU inside the top 25, mostly out. Cougars are polarizing, given a July starting quarterback transfer situation, of course. So, yeah. Brian, would you rather BYU start the season off the radar and surprise people, or start the season ranked and defend itself?
Man, this is tough. If I'm a head coach, I would say it depends on
not a head coach. You.
As a player?
You, the analyst on BYU TV right now.
I'm trying to be ranked, man, all the time. All day, every day, I want to be ranked.
Start ranked.
I want to see every time the college football rankings scroll across the screen. I want to see BYU.
On the bottom line on ESPN.
Yep. 100%.
Me too. You see some of the preseason polls here. Athlon 30. And Athlon was before Jake Retzlaff left, so I'd guess there BYU would be probably. Like
oh, that
40.
Was that was before.
BYU might be 40 without
Jake.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate on why you want to start high?
That's just me. That's me personally.
Yeah.
I think with this team and with Kalani and how he does things and how he motivates guys, and you look like in the past of that getting that exterior motivation, right? So I don't know, based off of Kalani and how he motivates his team and within the program, that it would necessarily be a bad thing to not be ranked, right? I think at times there's also a lot of pressure. I don't think that BYU players and just programs in the years past have that pressure. A lot of guys go on missions, right? There's a little bit more maturity. And so I think players can handle that.
Yeah, pressure is waking up in a foreign country, speaking another language.
I would say this,
talking
though.
About religion to strangers. That's pressure.
I would exactly. I would say this, though. This is something from an outsider looking in, somebody that's not LDS, right? I always felt that because in America or the world, let's say, when it comes to religion and Christianity, there's a lot of other religions that don't consider members of the LDS faith true Christian. So it's almost like I got to constantly prove myself, right? I got to constantly, you know, show that I belong. And I think that
in that space, and that translates here?
I absolutely think it does.
Interesting. How so?
Because
that
if
mindset?
That mindset, one. Number two is, like, if I grew up in this religion, and I'm an athlete, and I think about, I hear that all the time, right? Like, oh, you're not Christian. I naturally gain this chip on my shoulder.
Yeah. And then I hand him a Book of Mormon and go, tell me Jesus is not in this book. He's in every verse.
And when that chip is on my shoulder, I kind of grow up with that. I could apply it to anything. So not just sports, right? Job, whatever the case is. Sure. And so I think that's maybe where the advantage is of not being ranked is that chip, is that mentality is turned on, right?
I can prove myself. By the way, we looked up one time what the chip on the shoulder etymology is.
Yeah.
They would literally play games in, I don't know, the 1800s or something. You would have like a piece of wood on your shoulder, and then you'd try and balance and fight someone and keep it on.
What?
So that's the chip on the shoulder. It's not like Doritos, although you do probably love Doritos. Cool Ranch? Seemed like a Cool Ranch guy. Nacho cheese? What are we doing?
What's the one that's not red?
That's not red?
Yeah.
The blue one? Cool Ranch? Blue for BYU. I agree. And that's an interesting opinion there. I like that. Start ranked. It's easier to climb back up the rankings, respect mountain, from up than it is to start low and go up. BYU certainly has the standard. They want to make the Big 12 title game and win it and go to the playoff. It's certainly complicated by the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
So the standard on the inside feels like it's stayed the same. And I love that BYU is like, yes, we need to do this. Externally, for me, I go, okay, I would love for them to be as high as humanly possible. I know they're probably not going to start top 25 in the AP poll. I don't believe they will. The coaches surprised me, yet I don't care about the coaches poll. I just don't think it's that credible. But I was surprised they were in the top 25. But again, it's not, I don't really think it's anything. I think those coaches aren't looking around and knowing what's going on. I would guess there's some coaches that don't even know Jake Retzlaff left. They're just focused on their own team.
They probably won't know until like the week of the game.
Perhaps.
Like, where did this kid come from?
Hey, he's not on the team. What happened? In the Big 12, they know. And BYU's opponents in the non-conference, of course. But when and how you lose matters. That plays into how the season goes. Last season, BYU lost two games, close ones at the end. That was very respectable. But when BYU lost was terrible. 9-0, then lose two in a row. That was tough. If BYU was 2-2 early and then won 8 in a row to finish 10-2, they would have had a better shot at an at-large in the playoff. I'm not saying they would have been in. I'm just saying they would have had a better chance because when you lose matters.
But think about this too, right, when it comes to their ranking. So BYU went into that season last year not ranked.
Off the radar.
Right? Imagine.
Coming off 5-7.
And you saw where they went to, right, before those losses. Imagine if they came into that season ranked 20. How quicker?
I think
the ranking,
BYU probably would have made the playoff.
Absolutely. Because what happens in the eyes of voters and analysts, what happens is this: it's this team came in not ranked. They're surprising the entire world.
They're 9-0. They're number
6. They're
9-0.
And you know what they're thinking in their minds? Oh, it's a Cinderella story. They're not legit. This is just one of the, we have one or two teams every single year in college football or in sports in general.
That was kind of Indiana last year.
Yeah,
losing his program in college football history. BYU, and this plays into this, and I need BYU to handle success well. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be a one-off this last year. Therefore, BYU has to go 9-3 to sort of respond. They don't have to go 10-2, 11-1 in the regular season for me. It would be nice, but the expectations,
I was gonna say,
the expectations are different when you don't have a returning player who has played power four at all.
That's true.
If BYU had a transfer that came in like a Keaton Slovis or whatever, and if we had known about Jake earlier and they could get a quarterback in here, great. But now these guys are battling for an opportunity, and they want to prove themselves, certainly.
Yep.
But the expectations preseason, these are fair. When you're putting BYU in the 30s and 40s, that's probably fair given how important the QB is. Yeah, the rest of the team goes, we will carry you. Whoever the quarterback is, we will help you.
Yeah, I think to your point, too, you have to understand, this goes back to when I played, right? It was so frustrating for us as players to see Boise, like, everywhere. And then, you know, and then you had TCU started to make a run, right? Utah as well. And, you know, the common thing with those programs, they weren't in these Power Five conferences at the time.
Mountain West and Wacken at the time.
But you know what it was? It was consistency. Mm-hmm. And it was constantly being in New Year's Six bowls, constantly taking down the Giants, right? How many trick plays and you know, games that we can go back to? Right, that's what I mean. So from a brand standpoint, they established themselves as a program. And so it's easy, even if they have a down year, right? Like Alabama or Texas, they're always going to be ranked because of that consistency and that brand recognition of, hey,
well,
this
and
is a good
they're
program.
Recruiting to a level that deserves
well,
it.
Well, yeah, of course. And that plays
into
it.
If you have
it.
A top 20 recruiting class and you don't return a bunch of starters, there's still a certain amount of respect there. I would like the preseason poll to just go away, though.
Yeah.
For several weeks, I think that'd be great. Our question of the day is this: would you rather BYU start the season off the radar and surprise people, or start the season ranked and defend itself? Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram at McKay Dobbins. What's up, McKay? Always love a chip on the shoulder. Preseason rankings don't mean anything anyway. I think they do mean something in how quickly you can climb into and how a season finishes. Yes, I agree they shouldn't mean anything, but I think they do mean something. So if BYU does start ranked in the AP poll and they jump out 5-0, this is good.
Yes.
Then if you stumble and you climb back with a few more wins, you have an opportunity to be in the mix at the end.
Yes.
I think this
You have an opportunity to stumble.
You can stumble and recover.
And recover, yeah.
It's harder for, you know, Kenneth Rooks is a great example of this. He fell down in a steeplechase and came back and won.
Yep.
Was it the NCAA championship? I think it was the USA championship 3 years ago. But what if he didn't stumble at all? You know, then he wins easily.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think he still won after he stumbled easily.
Oh, yeah.
That's exceptional, though. There were several teams before, 11-2 in 09, you played on one of those, where you stumble a couple of times, you finish strong in the top 15.
Exactly.
When you lose matters. And hopefully this team can go 8-4, 9-3 plus.
Yeah.
Trust me, I would love 10-2, 11-1. Right now, I would say 8-4. Probably my season
bowling.
Guess.
Go bowling. Just go bowling.
That's bowling?
That's all you got to do is go bowling.
That's bowling?
That's my expectations. It's just make it to a bowl game, fellas, and that's good. That's good.
It's too low, Brian.
Hey, so
this team's too good to just go to a bowl game.
I know, but we just got to – hey, baby steps. Baby steps. We just got to get there.
Tell that to everybody but the quarterback. And even the quarterbacks are like, no, I'm the next guy.
Yeah, for
Let's go.
That's a good mentality.
They should have confidence.
And we talk about it a lot. We think that – you know, rankings should probably come out towards the middle of the season.
October for me.
Because we would know, right? And we said this for years.
Five, 6 games.
Because we would know. We can get a full idea. We have stats and numbers and all that stuff. The identity is formed on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
And so I think that's when it matters. What I do think that matters the most for when it comes to preseason awards or rankings or accolades is being on watch list, right? Because as a player, you're trying to go to the NFL. And so when you look at a guy like Chase Roberts, who was just named to the Biletnikoff Award watch list, that gets me excited as a fan, but also as a player, because it's like this national recognition. I'm one step closer to my dream, right? You know what I'm saying? And you know, there's a lot that, I know it's coming out a little bit more, and you go back to Big 12 media days, and you're figuring out how come we haven't gotten no accolades conference-wise, and so you're starting to see it coming out a little bit more. So, of all the BYU players named on the award watch list, who do you think has the best chance of winning?
It's a good point with Chase. I think Chase is awesome. It is clearly one guy. It is Will Farron for Lou Groza. Like Will Farron's got a real chance to win the Lou Groza because this guy is the best at his position on the team. He's incredible. He was preseason first or second team All-American in most publications. Parker Kingston to me for the versatile, jet best return specialist, Paul Hornung, most versatile. Those two's pretty interesting. If Parker can come up with multiple punt returns for touchdowns, slashes, yep. I think his receiving numbers are going to go up a tick. That would be interesting to me. But clearly, it is number 44, Will Farron.
44, at your door. No, I agree with that. Look, man, like, it's going to take some time for players to win these awards. I mean, you look at a guy like...
How much time do they have? They just have this... For Chase, it's right now.
Well, I mean, when was the last time BYU had a player?
01, Luke Staley.
that's what I'm saying.
Joe Walker, best
that's what I'm saying. I mean, we thought Jesus would be back by there. You know what I'm saying? And he, like...
We have a few signs of the times that need to happen first, Brian.
This is my point is that it goes back to the whole brand situation and scenario. Look, this is what's very unfortunate is this, and I'm just going to be real. Like, we used to have this segment, real when you produce a real talk.
Yes.
I'm just
going
to be real. Yes. When people that are outside of BYU and the program, when you think about BYU football players in the past, right, not so much now, you think of old white Mormon kids that are slow and that's not athletic. That's just, it is what it is, right? And so the other thing that
is changing, by
it is because you got Fred Warner, Kyle Van, right? Like, you're right, it is changing,
yes.
but that's still the perception of analysts that have been covering college football for 20, 30 years, right? That's still the it's
hard. Older generation. I think that the national people understand where BYU is now, and in terms of individuals,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't know that there's anyone that super pops nationally except for Will Farron.
Yes,
like Chase is one of the top 40, 50 receivers in college football, which is awesome. Think about how many receivers are out there.
So this is my point.
He's got to get 1,000 yards to just enter that conversation of the next step.
Well, this is my point though. So if you have if it's time to vote and there's 20 kids to vote for, and the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the logo by the name, right? And so without that brand recognition, because BYU from a quarterback standpoint, like with Zach Wilson, it was easy. Oh, he looked at Steve Young and look at Ty Gatton, on. Now you're starting to see that a little bit with linebackers, right? With Kyle Van Noy and Fred Warner. But at the end of the day, there's just not enough, I think, not necessarily recognition, but respect. Respect, right? As a program level, I think we're starting to get it, but on an individual basis. And I think that was proven with the preseason, Big 12 conference.
Yeah, I thought
right?
But here's the thing. There's 16 teams. It's really hard to get in that on that list. It is. There's so many teams. And think about how good the league is.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's not like it's a dumpy league and BYU is clearly the best. It's a hard league to crack that. Jake Retzlaff, walking into the season, had he been here, he's probably the fifth or sixth best quarterback in the league, and that might be generous.
Yeah.
It's a good league.
Yep.
For Chase Roberts to crack, that was awesome. Keanu Tanavasa didn't. Jack Kelly didn't. Isaiah Glasker didn't.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So there's a lot. They only named two defensive tackles.
Yeah.
Are you one of the top two in the league? If not, you're not on the list. He might have been on the second or third team. I think when it comes to voting, what you're talking about, I think that that comes from a sort of general naive standpoint. The people that actually watch ball and know ball, they know the individuals regardless of the logo sometimes.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in the NFL draft especially. It's about those individuals.
But see, check this out, though.
What does that individual do? Who is that guy? People that have watched Chase Roberts know he's a good receiver.
But okay.
That he feels like a day three pick in the NFL draft.
So check this out. These analysts, right? Like, this is why TV exposure is so important. Going back to when I played,
everyone's exposed.
Boise,
it's not your era.
No, but you got to check this out. So Boise State, right, had tons of recognition. Tons of guys were getting drafted back then, right? And not even playing these big time games or
played
whatever.
Friday on ESPN.
Friday night ESPN. I say this all the time. Ziggy Ansah, Ziggy getting drafted. ESPN, right? Friday nights.
A lot of that had to do with his.
No. I get what you're saying. But my point is this. When there's these big national games, right, like on television, regardless of what area or region you're in, they're most likely going to be the blue bloods, right? So you have these logo versus logo. And so as an NFL scout or a national analyst, I'm watching those games naturally, right? Except for if I'm trying to cover my team specifically. So I'm just saying I get slapped in the face. It's in my face at all times. So I'm going to, when it comes to voting, oh yeah, I seen that kid play 3 games this year and he balled out. Or I seen that D tackle play that one, you know what I'm saying? Like there's these big games and that spotlighted. And that's what I'm saying. The point is that the exposure, we haven't got that yet as a program on a national scale. But I do think that's changing.
You think being in the Big 12 for 2 years, BYU's had exposure on the national level?
I'm saying not on the level of getting individual awards. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you got to be good enough. If you win an individual award, you have to be the best in that position in the country. You didn't have that guy except for Will Ferentz. Will Ferentz is
come on,
perhaps
hey man. There's been tons of players that I played against, and I was like, this dude is projected to go third round, fourth round. This dude is horrible. He's Boo Boo Johnson.
He might have been Boo Boo that day. Dude, they win a national award,
he was even worse. Like he was on Doo Doo Stevens level. You know what I'm saying? Like horrible. So like
you don't have to throw UTEP under the bus.
There is this like I just all I was hey, I gave up a touchdown again.
No one remembers. It's okay. We just remember Brian Logan courageously coming back from injury against Utah. No, that was awesome. That was awesome.
That was good. It was. Join us tomorrow for a brand new Deep Blue when we profile BYU soccer star Haley Dixon. That's tomorrow on BYU Sports Nation.
Can't wait to watch it. After the break, star defensive tackle Keanu Tanevasa joins the program to share what BYU football and the Ninja Turtles have in common. Yep. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored.
Tanevasa understandably has generated a lot of interest because of his skill set and his natural leadership. Really just the leaders that we have. I feel like even getting Keanu Tanevasa, he's been a big part in our defense already, and we haven't even started the season.
A new way it is. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live in Studio B for your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play. Jeremy Jordan alongside Brian Logan. As I mentioned last week, I've been re-watching games from the season. I watched the Utah game late last week, and oh my gosh, Keanu Tanevasa was in the backfield constantly creating disruption against that BYU offense. Luckily, he's wearing blue now. And earlier this week, Spencer Linton spoke with number 57 at practice about how he's showed he's the master of metaphors and 100% bought in on the BYU culture.
We just spoke with your defensive tackles coach, Sione Pouha, and he is a master of analogies, Keanu. He called you a first trumpet in his orchestra. And you told me offline recently that this happens all the time in practice. So what is the analogy format of Coach Pouha's approach in practice?
I don't know. I think he's just an extremely wise man. I think that's where it comes from. He has years of experience, but he also has years of experience as a teacher, as a developer, right? So we not only get what he trained and played as, but we get who he's become as a teacher. And so it's really transformational what he teaches. Nothing is really transactional. And that's why we're seeing such a huge development within the D-line, is his transformational teaching is helping us to become our best selves.
Tell me about the Ninja Turtles analogy that was recently used from him.
I loved it. So, right, Ninja Turtles, we know they got 3 fingers, right? I don't know if people have seen that. We all loved it, all the D-tackles. And so if a Ninja Turtle is punching with one finger out, he's going to hurt his hand, and it's not going to be as powerful. So each as separate units, we have to play as one to make a complete fist. We're separate players, separate styles, but we have to complement each other. And so that's what he was creating that analogy for, and we all just clicked with it, and we're excited to apply that teaching.
I can't wait for the Ninja Turtle cover video to supplement what you just explained. By the way, who's the best Ninja Turtle? Donatello, Michelangelo, Raphael, or Leonardo?
Leonardo. That's the leader. I've always loved Raphael because his, you know, ferociousness, but Leonardo's really that got that leadership mentality.
Didn't think I'd be asking that question, but yet here we are.
I could name each of our players as who's who, but we don't need to do that now.
Keanu Tanevasa is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's talk about where we are at this juncture of camp in the defensive tackles group. Over the first week, where have you seen your team gel and become more cohesive?
I think players are recognizing the off-season work and they're applying it into their daily practice. So our bodies have been transformed into what we need them to be fit, whether it be faster, more physical, more built, a little bit heavier, and especially in our D-tackle room, it's become more explosive. And so now that transitioning, how we're adhesing together, if that's a word, is just by applying everything that we built in the offseason and then now coupling it with what we love to do and actually playing the game of football.
When you look at what else is in your room, because Coach Poua said Keanu is a clear leader, but I need three sets of starters. What are you seeing from the other guys to make you feel like you will have those three sets of interior defensive tackles ready to go when the season begins?
I think what's huge is the word intent. I think each of them have their own natural and real intent, and that's what's so critical is they're not bought into just getting through practice. They're bought into developing within practice. They're bought into being their best version of themselves. So with that, it's right. If I'm labeled as the first trumpet, well, we don't want JT then to be this first trumpet as well. We want him to be his version of either a trombone, of a bass, or whatever he's playing, because that's complementary football, right? And so for these twos and threes, these three sets of starters, we want them to be their best version, and that's what we're seeing in practice, is they're not trying to be somebody else. They're trying and they're figuring out their best self.
And by JT, for reference, you mentioned John Taumalpeo, correct? Yep. What are you seeing from him that impresses you the most? Because I feel like he's a guy that is a little bit off the radar right now.
Yeah, JT brings a certain level of relentlessness on the field. He is a ferocious player, and he has an attitude like no other. He's super upbeat, super happy, brings a lot of joy and passion, but that switch flips. You can mistake that for kindness, and when you get lined up in front of him, the offensive linemen feel that.
Along with you and JT, who else has maybe surprised you in the defensive tackles group in camp?
We've got three guys that come to mind. I think there's a guy named Pakofe Kaufusi. He's doing amazing. Justin Kirkland is phenomenal, and he's coming along really well. And Anisi Purcell. We have a lot of young guys as well. I mean, it's hard because I want to touch on them all. But just really good guys, again, that are bought into becoming their best self. And that's what's adding huge strides to this defense.
If you had to break it down very simply for what your responsibility is as a defensive tackle group in Jay Hill's defense, what would you say to that?
I would use his analogy again, Coach Poha's analogy. He told us today it's we're the end credits of the movie, right? A lot of times we see these skill players they're the literal movie. They make the plays, they get the show, but nobody watches the end credits, and that's what helped the movie to function. That's what caused the movie to happen. And so when we're doing our base technique of squeezing a block, of cutting off a reach block, of getting knockback, we might not make the play, we might not make the movie scene, but we helped it to happen. And so that's what our role is in Jay Hill's defense is we make everything function by the way that we attack. We may not be getting the show and the star or the play, the statistic, but that demeanor in the front and that attitude that is pushing the linebacker is what's creating success for our team.
Listen, this is why I always stay all the way through the credits, Keanu.
Right. You got to see the credits. You got to see the end scene. The end scene going to be the D-tackle celebrating. We may not have made the tackle. You're going to see us jump up and down.
What has you most excited about the BYU defense in general? Because this is your first go-around with the Cougs.
Sir, I think it's just the way that they play with passion and energy. They have so much fun on the field, right? This is a boys' game, and we're blessed to be able to play it at a higher level and almost the highest level. And so with that, it's just the energy that they bring and the team unity, right? Everybody's bought into each other. We're not just coworkers. We're really family out there. And so being a part of that helps the system so much.
I know that, again, you're specified to help out with the defense, but you're still seeing what's happening from the BYU offense. So in the first week, what has stuck out to you from the BYU offense and how they're trying to attack your defense?
I think they're trying to dominate in the run game, and I love that. I think we have a very stout O-line, and I admire them the heck out of them. You know, I think they play phenomenally, and they help to build us. That quarterback competition is huge. They're all fighting and battling, which is bringing out their best selves, right? And so a part of that brings fire, it brings unity, and it brings a lot of confidence to the rest of the team. And so within that competition is a lot of energy and focus. And I think coupled with the O-line and their performance and that quarterback trying to take over, there's a whole lot of unity that's happening.
We'll finish with this. Over the next few weeks, where do you feel like BYU as a team needs to get better the most to be fully game ready for Portland State on August 30th?
Refinement is the word that came to mind. It's just refining. Every day, right? We got 17 practices left. Every day, if we can get just 1, 2, 3% better, by the end of the year, we're going to be at 100%. Or excuse me, by the end of the camp, we're going to be at 100% when we hit that field running against Portland State. And so not doing more, but doing what we do better. That's what we need. And so as everybody's bought into that process, refining their job and their best self, we're going to be phenomenal when we hit it running.
Okay. And finally, you mentioned today was a great day. You said you just felt different. Why was that?
Again, I think it just tags along with this is our fifth or sixth day in pads. That first day in pads for me was rough. I got a little bit of a, you know, body that's been through 4 years now of football, right? So it's getting used to being more comfortable in pads, right? When you throw it on after a couple months, you can feel stiff. You can feel a little bit out of whack. It's now day five or six, and it felt natural. It just felt real. And the intent, everything that matters, right, the small and simple things, we've been buying in off the field. So the second that we took that field today, we hit it running, and oh, it was amazing to see.
He is the Leonardo of the BYU defense and a guy who loves his end credits.
Oh, yes. We love being the backbone of the team, sir.
Keanu, thanks for the time, brother.
Appreciate you. Go Cougs.
Man, that was a great interview. My favorite Ninja Turtle was Raphael until I came here to BYU because he wore red. So
you're nice.
A little bit of discrimination.
Leonardo with the blue. Nice as well.
If you miss any of our fall camp interviews, Deep Blues or more, you can find them at BYUSN.com.
Coming up, women's volleyball racks up Big 12 preseason awards. Which former Cougar was named head coach of a professional team? And how did women's soccer fare against Southern Utah last night?
Ellie in the 18, plays off the mitt of the keeper and into the back of the net.
Such a powerful shot coming from Ellie Walbrook. The angle on it is so tough, but she's able to find that small little window.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Jerem. He is Brian. Time for headlines.
I hate when you use my government name. BYU football held the team's annual photo day yesterday, where we finally got to see players in official uniforms and numbers. On Saturday, the Cougars will hold their first full patch scrimmage of fall camp so far. BYU TV will continue to provide coverage of fall camp leading up to the season opener against Portland State.
23 days away, Chase Roberts named to the Biletnikoff Award watch list, which honors the nation's top wide receiver. Last season, Roberts had 52 catches, 854 yards, 4 touchdowns. No Cougar has ever won the award, although Austin Colley, good hand back in the day. Mm-hmm. Last time BYU had a semifinalist for the award was Dax Milne in 2020.
Women's soccer beat SUU in exhibition 4-1 yesterday. Freshman Sophie Savulovic scored 2 goals for the Cougars. Here's Greg Rebell on the call for her first goal of her BYU career.
A long ball, hesitating on it, was Brass, the touch and the score. Savulic opens the scoring for BYU off the assist from Ellie Walbrook. Hesitation for Brass, and the Cougs take advantage. Sophie Savulic.
The Cougars will play their second exhibition of the season against Utah Tech on Saturday at 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
Good to have Ellie Walbrook back.
That's my girl, man.
She's really good. Oh, man, she's awesome. Women's volleyball ranked number 1 in the Big 12 preseason coaches poll. They think BYU is going to win the league. Last season, BYU finished 6th in the Big 12 with a 12-6 conference record. Claire Little Chambers selected as the preseason player of the year. Suli Davis was selected as the preseason freshman of the year. Alex Bowers, Brielle Kemivore, and Little Chambers all selected to the All Big 12 team. Expect big things from this BYU team. We're excited. Young, some good pieces there as well. Can't wait to watch. BYU coming up August 29th.
Pressure. Former men's volleyball star Lucas Slabe, JR, got that right, was recently named as the head coach for the Omaha Supernovas. The Supernovas are a professional women's volleyball team that plays in the Pro Volleyball Federation. The Supernovas won the league championship in 2024.
They've rebranded, call it Major League Volleyball. Mm. So, yeah, bringing it in.
They should rebrand that name, Supernovas, because it's not.
You don't think there are Supernovas in Nebraska?
No, when the Earth is flat, so there's
okay. I didn't know Kyrie Irving was here today. UA Softball has announced the hiring of assistant coach Alex Mascarenhas. He was formerly the head coach of the NAIA school, Hope International, where he led the team to 3 straight NAIA opening round appearances, 2 conference championships.
And BYU versus UConn in men's hoops in Boston on November 15th will reportedly be broadcast on Fox, according to John Rosenstein.
Rosenstein. So we have Fox, we have TNT, CBS, ESPN, Peacock. Hey, Big 12 getting that exposure you mentioned.
Yeah, getting the money. That's
coming
all
up.
That's all we care about.
Veteran safety Tanner Wall gives us an update on BYU's secondary headed into the season. Well, the Cougars have another year with more than 20 picks. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jeremy Jordan, Brian Logan in the house. Well, the leader of the safeties is fifth-year senior Tanner Wall, who leads a group hungry to pick off a ton of passes like they did last year when they led the country with 22 picks. As a veteran, he's enjoyed leading the team up to this point and includes watching the underclassmen experience things for the first time.
So we're doing this interview during team photo day, picture day. Does this feel like elementary school too, like where you had to go get your pictures on picture day?
A little bit like that. It's fun to be out here with the boys though, and you know, a lot of the guys, it's their first picture day, they're super excited. So just see that excitement from them is fun.
It's probably though one of those milestones that you go through when you realize the season's coming and the first game's here, like, oh, it's team photo day already, and then the next, you've got that next milestone. You kind of feel that way as we inch closer to the start of the season?
Absolutely, yeah. It just makes it feel so real, like we're just right around the corner. I mean, we're gonna blink and we're gonna be playing, kicking off against Portland State here before we know it, so can't wait to get it going.
What gets you excited about this upcoming season? I know there's a lot of things to be excited about, but you specifically, what excites you about the opportunity that awaits you guys this year?
I just think we still have so much to prove, you know, given the circumstances of everything, how we ended last season and, you know, some things this off season. You know, we still have a lot to prove as a program and who we are and what our identity is, and, you know, go out and really prove again that, you know, we are a great team in this conference, and we're going to be competitive, and we're going to be, you know, battling to be in the Big 12 championship year in, year out. And so obviously that's our goal, is to make it, you know, and win a championship this year. But just being out there, you know, with my brothers and for the last ride, right, my last year here, and excited to just leave it all out there on the field with the boys.
Why is that emotion, that desire to prove people wrong, why is that something that athletes tap into so much? Why is that such a motivating factor?
That's a great question. I feel like it's kind of a conflicting thing, because, you know, from our end and personally, like, we have so much belief in ourselves and trust and confidence. And so when there's an outside entity that doesn't believe or doesn't trust your ability, it almost feels threatening, or it's like, okay, you know, like, it makes you a little bit frustrated, or, you know, maybe some other emotions. And so you kind of want to be able to prove that to them. But, you know, Coach Kalani focuses with us too on not focusing so much on proving other people wrong, but proving ourselves right and the things that we know that we're capable of and that we're striving towards, and doing that rather than focusing on the things outside. So
we were talking about you actually earlier today on BYU Sports Nation, and we're talking, singing your praises, of course, how good of a player you are. But, you know, one of the things that I mentioned was you're always where you are supposed to be. You make the right play, you make the right reads. How much of that is study? How much of that is instinctual? How do you, why are you always in the right spot? Because you always seem to be where you're supposed to be.
I think it's a combination of both things. You know, in our safety room, being able to prepare week in and week out with Jay Hill, our level of preparation from a film perspective is, you know, at a very high level. And it's when we do, when the game comes around, when we're out there, we're very prepared for what we're going to see, and, you know, the tendencies and the patterns from an opposing offense. But also, I feel like from the moment I started playing football, I've kind of had those instincts and understanding pursuit angles, understanding, you know, where we're weak in defenses and where teams are going to try to attack. And so it's just one of those things that feels natural when you're out there on the field, to just know where you need to be and get there and take the right angle to get there. And, you know, you're always going to be in a position to make plays.
You play at a position that's pretty stacked, a lot of talent at that safety position. How good can that group be?
We can be exceptional. You know, we've got a lot of great players in that room, a lot of guys who care a lot, not just about football, but about, you know, being excellent across all phases of life and you know, what it means to be a BYU athlete. And so really embracing that and being those guys who are all in everything that we do. I think we have a great ability to kind of lead and be an example to not only the rest of the defense, but the rest of the team in how we prepare and how we care about our success.
I know fall camp's one of those weird things because you want everybody to play well because that bodes well for the season, but the defense wants to make sure that they play better than the offense and vice versa. With that dynamic, talk to me about the offense and what you've seen out of the offensive side of the ball this year and going up against them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I played 2 years of offense, so understanding, you know, Coach Roderick's system and the way that he designs plays, and we've seen a lot of new creative things, I feel like, in the run game. That's been really exciting. We have a great running back room and a lot of depth, a lot of talent in there. So, you know, seeing some two-back sets and a lot of stuff, including both LJ and Sione Moa, it's like having both those guys on the field at the same time is awesome. They're, you know, great football players. And you know, from our scheme, you know, I'd say we do what we do best, right? We have kind of a bread and butter that, you know, Coach Roderick's always focused on, and we kind of specialize in doing that. And, you know, new wrinkles in getting to those formations to run those base plays. And, you know, our quarterbacks are all smart guys, and so they're able to, you know, move the ball down the field. So it's been good to compete with them every single day. Obviously, as you mentioned, right, we as a defense, we want to dominate. But if we do have a day where it's like, okay, we didn't dominate today, it doesn't really hurt our ego that bad because it's like, okay, these are our teammates. Like, these are the guys who are going to be out there, you know, with us on game day playing against the other defense. And we want them to be great, right? It's one of those reminders where it's like, okay, you know, it's a good thing that they had a great day today and they looked good. Obviously, we got to make the corrections we need to, but it's great to have that competition each and every day.
If they said you could play Portland State tomorrow, how quickly are you putting that helmet on, getting out on the field?
Oh, I'd strap it up in 10 minutes. Let's go. Give me a little warm-up. I'm ready to go.
Tanner, great stuff. It's so much fun to watch you play. Good luck the rest of camp and good luck this season.
Thanks so much, Jason. Appreciate it.
Shep with Tanner Wall. Don't let Tanner's sort of low energy delivery deceive you that he's not a mean dude on the field. Because that guy covers ground, very cerebral, crazy smart. He's getting a master's degree right now. Yeah. Right? I feel like the safety room is loaded. They have five guys for two spots, and they've done a great job with that the last couple of years, led by Jay Hill, of course.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the safety position, it has to be another coach on the field, right? It usually is the smartest guy, right?
I would say Tanner is the smartest guy.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
Like, the fact that you mentioned that he's getting his master's, you know what I mean? Like I remember when I played, it was Scott Johnson, Scotty J, the golden child is what we call him. and they're usually perfect on and off the field. They may not have the most athleticism. However, they're always in the right places because of football IQ, right?
And I would argue that Tanner's very athletic. And his picks, you go, that's a former receiver at BYU, turned safety.
The pick that he had at the goal line,
against
right?
Against Arizona.
I turned to Uncle B. I was like, yo, I feel so bad. I feel so convicted because I didn't know this kid was that athletic. I was like, man, we need to get this. I don't care if he's in the right spot. We need to get this kid out of here. He needs to make more. And it was that moment where I was like, I feel horrible. I didn't know.
You didn't know.
I had.
But now you know.
Hey, but
now
I found out.
Yeah, a lot of teams did. A lot of teams did against BYU. Now we look at the cornerbacks, your area of expertise.
Yeah.
Mori Bamba, Evan Johnson look like they'll be the starters. But Jonathan Cabea and Trey Alexander are right there on their heels as hopefully a good two deep.
Yeah,
Cabea is the nickel.
I like Trey. He I think has the most upside when you look at his height, his weight.
6'2", 180, fast.
Hey, and this is the thing though. This is the thing what I like about him the most is when he first got here, he was maybe what 20 pounds like lighter.
He was lighter.
And he got on campus and started eating, got in the weight room. So I can see just the dedication and the focus. But the other thing, too, is the length, right? So, yeah,
he is long.
And this is the thing with me. I'm 5'6", right? But my arms, I have a wingspan of 6'5". So that's why I'm giving away my secret.
I didn't know your wingspan was 6'5". It's 6'5"?
Hey, I wear extra large gloves, and I wear 11.5 shoes. So that's why I got away with it. I'm giving away my secret because everybody's like, how good? Like,
you played a long time ago. I think statute of limitations
is up. Look at this. Wait, go to the wide shot. We need the wide shot so you can see this. Look how long this is. Yeah. So even though I'm short.
The camera does add 10 extra pounds, too. Yeah.
So, but with Trey, that's the thing is that not only is he tall and he could put on more weight, you see the frame that he has, his shoulders. He's lengthy too. So yeah. When it comes to batting balls down, being physical at the line of scrimmage, when it comes to pressing receivers, you know, he's going to give a lot of receivers some difficulties. So he's a
and then
future.
He'll tell them about it. he is fun.
Which is the most important thing. I'm going to be here all day.
You got to have that conversation.
You're not getting off the line of scrimmage.
That friendly conversation. Trey.
Absolutely.
Talking to the wide receiver. Catch Big 12 Volleyball Media Days, day 2, coming up at 2 Eastern time today on the BYU TV app and ESPN Plus. Kristen Kozlowski, Alex Jean Glover, Amy Gant with interviews with coaches and players, analysis you won't find anywhere else, coming up later today. After the break, is AJ DiMonza low-key a better bowler than basketball player? The evidence on display after this.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU radio apps, or listen to the podcast, subscribe, rate, and review the show.
I'm still not over the fact that Brian's wingspan is 6'5". I didn't know that until today. I've known you since 2009.
Yeah.
16 years. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is, huh?
I need to know every wingspan of every one of our broadcasts.
It's a little.
Wayne Fowler, what's your wingspan? Our question of the day. Would you rather BYU start the season off the radar and surprise people, or start the season ranked and defend itself at our Caldwell 333 on X? If it wants a better chance of getting into the national championship, it needs to be ranked. Yeah, you got to be ranked at the start.
Yeah.
But 1984, BYU was unranked.
It's a little different.
So
man.
You can climb out of it.
You got to be undefeated.
But you got to have one loss or zero loss to make the playoff, probably.
Yeah.
The two-loss BYU or any Power Four, now you're competing for a spot. If you are zero or one losses on selection day.
Yeah.
You will be in the playoff as a Power Four team.
I think the 2009 example that you brought up is the perfect example. We started 20, moved to 7,
Oklahoma number 3 was awesome. Yep. We beat Tulane.
So when we were losing, and then as we were bouncing back, we were in media's mind. They were like, no, we this is a legit team.
Seems good. We saw them beat Oklahoma.
We saw
and that was 84. They beat Pitt, who was number 3. Pitt ends up sinking that year, but that's not BYU's problem.
Exactly.
Beat them right then and there.
Yeah. So getting ranked is a good thing.
And obviously, winning cures most ills.
Yes.
In response to our question of the day, our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated at Sam_Bird on X. Off the radar gives the team motivation, but I personally would prefer some respect. Let them start ranked and show everyone that last year wasn't a fluke. Mm. I do not believe BYU will start ranked in the AP poll. I do not. Mm. I think the Jake Retzlaff transfer was too big of a deal, too late in the game. It's a situation that will motivate BYU. That's the good news. This team thrives off motivation. Can they handle success from last year? But now they have that chip on the shoulder, probably to get them over the top. Let's go.
Hey, fellas, bowl game. Just make it to a bowl game.
That's
please,
not enough.
Please, no, please. Plus, I get another game check if you guys make it. So
well,
please.
It's all about you. Today's Rise and Shout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Who gets it?
We've got to go with AJ DiBonza. He went bowling yesterday and. Ended up getting 3 strikes in a row.
Okay.
So
not bad.
When you're a generational talent, you're
pumped.
You're good at everything.
And he got a certificate of achievement. The style award goes to AJ DiBonza.
There you go.
So as if his summer was not award winning enough, he now gets the certificate, hopefully printed on like a 90s printer with the little fringes for the style award. Congratulations to AJ DiBonza. Can't wait for the basketball season. Football coming up. Women's soccer getting going. Women's volleyball in camp right now. It's all happening, baby. Our thanks to today's guests, Keanu Tanavasa and Tanner Wall. Sorry to your former teammate, Dennis Pitta, who ran out of time.
The conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com. And I'm taking this time right now. Jeremy's supposed to speak, but I'm taking over for you, Dennis. I love you. You're my brother, and I wish you
the best. Anyways, for Brian, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Riley Lineman. Go Cougs.